me, baby.
Young gun on one that back calling me splurge. Let me jump right off the curb. Yeah. Bentley spray fly like a bird. Spin on the first and the third. Yeah. Solid, I'm keeping my word. Can't be my equal, I don't know what you heard. Yeah. Crack up the foreign, I swear. Keep me a stick if they purge.
Yeah. Yeah. WQHT and WQHT HD1 New York. This is Hot 97 Street Soldiers, hosted by Lisa Evers on Hot 97.
I'm so glad you're joining us for this episode of Street Soldiers on Diddy, the Criminal Case. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We've seen bombshell allegations made against Sean Diddy Combs and action movie-style raids on his homes. Then there was silence for months. But behind the scenes, federal investigators were quietly at work and prosecutors were making their case in secret to a grand jury. Now Diddy is charged with the federal crimes of sex trafficking, conspiracy, and racketeering. What does that really mean? We're going to find out. In this episode of Street Soldiers, we're taking a big picture look at where we're at with this case, how we got here, and who is Sean Diddy Combs really? Because there was one time when he was on top of the world. We've got the perfect panel to break this all down for us. Joining me is Asia Grace. She's a lifestyle reporter for the New York Post. Asia, great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you. Also with us is Mark Ellibert. He's a hip-hop journalist for Complex and other platforms. Mark, great to have you back with us.
Hey, Lisa, what's going on?
It's all good. It's all going on for sure. We're going to get into it too, definitely. Also with us is Philip Hamilton. He's a criminal defense attorney and managing partner with Hamilton Clark LLP. Phil, thank you for being with us once again.
It's always good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate it. Phil, first of all, how serious is this case?
Extremely serious. We went through this a couple of years ago, 2 to 3 years ago, when we had the R. Kelly trial, right? And, you know, we know ultimately what his sentence ended up being. And in large part, it's because there was a RICO conspiracy involved and there were allegations of sex trafficking involved that spanned the course of many years, many victims and the like. Essentially, even though from a factual standpoint, it's a bit more nuanced with Diddy, from a legal standpoint, he's essentially, and I'm speaking from more of a lay perspective here, he's essentially facing the same charges. When I'm looking at this indictment and I think what his federal sentencing guidelines will most likely be, when we think about all of the enhancements, some of the nature of the conduct that I've seen, within the four corners of the indictment, I don't see how he would be looking at anything less than 30 to life here. From a guideline standpoint and from a statutory standpoint, just in terms of like what he could just be looking at on the law, not just where his guidelines would fall, what range a judge should give him. I mean, he's looking at multiple counts of 20 years. He's looking at 30 years and up. He, in many respects, is in some serious danger when it comes to his liberty and when it comes to any thoughts that he's having about freedom moving forward. Lisa is very serious.
It doesn't get more serious than that. 30 to life. Asia Grace, you're a lifestyle reporter. You mix and mingle with all kinds of people every single day. What was the reaction when people heard that he was finally arrested?
Well, things have truly become rough for Puff. I mean, he virtually has gone from making the band to like playing a harmonica in a jail cell, or at least a beat. You know, this is a day that a lot of pop culture connoisseurs and contributors, including Diddy himself, likely never expected to see. He was this larger than life figure, this mogul who had millions, music, models, you name it. And now his life hangs in the balance. There's a lot of shock and disappointment, especially when people are looking at the allegations and some of the alleged evidence that surfaced, including that very alarming video between him and Cassie from 2016. People can't believe that this person that was on this pedestal for decades upon decades, since I was a little girl, is now having this very public and very nightmarish downfall.
Yeah, a big nightmare. Mark, in terms of the hip hop community, there's been, he helped a lot of people, but since these problems surfaced, these criminal cases, especially since the Cassie civil lawsuit last November, there's been an incredible amount of silence. I mean, very few people coming forward to even want to be affiliated with him in any way. He lost a lot of business. But what's the sense that you're getting of what people are saying in the hip hop community?
It's just an influx of emotions. There's people who are trying to figure it out. There's people who are happy that some justice is being found. There's others who are sad because this is a respected hip hop figure that so many people looked up to, myself included. And we're seeing like this is what this is what was allegedly going on behind closed doors. And it's like, all right, he knows so many other people. He's helped so many other people. Are other people involved in this? So it's just a weird period right now in hip hop. We're trying to figure out, and we're trying to just hopefully we get the answers to what's going on.
Bill, in terms of the actual allegations, one of the issues that came up in the first, at his arraignment, the lawyers talking about consensual sex versus sex trafficking. Where do you draw the line, or where do they draw the line legally with that?
I mean, you could look directly in the indictment. If you look at count two, it just discusses sex trafficking by force, fraud, or coercion. All right. And that force, fraud, or coercion, that is a very important element that in many respects can take this over a consensual component and then over to an illegal component where you're now looking at 30 to life. And it goes a little bit deeper. I think that reference that you're discussing, he was trying to break down the relationship that Diddy had with Cassie, right? Which, frankly, I don't even know if at a bail hearing you really want to be going deep into those facts, because as we know and as has already been discussed here, that case is in large part the crux of what opened all of this up. Once Cassie brought that suit and Diddy didn't settle the day before, when probably looking back retrospectively, he should have. Once it opened up all the doors to people seeing the money that Cassie got and realizing that he was vulnerable at that point, he wasn't all powerful, that they would be able to come in and get their justice, be able to get retribution and be able to get monetary means from him. It opened up those doors and it put him in a position now where he's having to fight back. And so even though his attorney was focusing much more so on Cassie, there's a number of victims here that you can't necessarily use the consensual component, especially when we have, rampant allegations of drug use, when we have rampant allegations of force and threats and him using his power as a means to keep people quiet. It kind of obviously goes a little bit beyond consensual when we start to think about a lot of those factors, Lisa.
No, exactly. Asia, what about the media coverage in terms of the level of media interest in this? I was there at the court. It's incredible. But in terms of how you gauge it compared to some of these other high profile cases like Harvey Weinstein, for example, or R. Kelly.
Absolutely. I mean, historically, we as a society have really enjoyed watching these VIPs receive their due accolades in the spotlight. And then as time has progressed, we've become accustomed to, and in some cases addicted to, watching their downfall in that same spotlight. And I do believe that, the media is there to give the people what they want. And folks want that minute to minute updates, because this is someone that, and not just in Diddy's case, I mean, we've seen this in R. Kelly, we've seen this with Epstein and Weinstein and you name them, Cosby. People really want to understand who this person was. They want the truth about this person that we, rooted for, we bought into, we cheered for, supported, in some cases defended. So the media coverage, it's, as a member of the media, it's incumbent on us to really handle these situations, these high profile cases, carefully but thoroughly, because people want to know the truth.
No, absolutely. Mark, in terms of what the truth is, because there are people, and I've talked with some of them, who worked with Diddy for years, some of the people that were executives in his various business enterprises, they had no clue that any of these alleged activities were taking place. A lot of it was based in New York, but a lot of these activities too, obviously happening in Miami and LA and in Atlanta hotels around the country. But they said that he basically, especially for young Black men, gave them an opportunity in these businesses where they were real trailblazers because of their youth and also because of their race. Are we losing sight of that?
I think so, because this is the thing about the music industry. Like, you get an opportunity, you can live your dreams, but then there's another side of it that's like, you have to do some things that you're not used to that could lead to other things. And it's just like, are we like, what is the real purpose of the music industry now? Because as Asia said, we want to know who these people are. And Diddy was portrayed as this person that is successful businessman, became a billionaire, fashion industry, had a successful liquor brand that made people like me feel like, oh, all right, we can do that too. Now this is going on and it's like, hold on, what's really happening here? Is this really a safe space for us to come in and, feel that we can live our dreams out?
All right, coming up, we're going to find out how far back can the prosecution go in digging up dirt or any other potential crimes or allegations. We'll find out when we come back. This is Street Soldiers. I'm Lisa Evers. Don't go away.
Hot 97's Beat the Buzzer.
You're going to hear the Hot 97 shot clock start. You're going to hear the money. And then you got to say stop before the buzzer goes off to win.
Thousands and thousands of dollars. Only for Tri-State listeners. $875. $1,000.
You want $1,000? You got it.
We're hitting this five times a day, 7 and 8 a.m., noon, and 3 and 5 p.m.
Beat the buzzer.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
From Hot.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check your sunroof is closed first before driving through the car wash.
Whoa.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Terms apply. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
I've seen people's lives and their families' lives turn completely upside down by devastating accidents. And that's why I started my law firm. I'm Eric Chafin, co-founder of Chafin Lujan Law. Our firm makes sure that you recover everything you're entitled to, including, for example, your lost wages, your medical expenses, as well as your pain and suffering. Our team has the experience and expertise in personal injury cases to get you the best legal recovery while you focus on your health and healing. If you've been injured, call us and let us do good and right for you.
Go to ChafinLujana.com or call 800-396-6129. If you've been hurt because of someone else's negligence, Chafin Lujana will help you get the meaningful compensation you deserve. Call 800-396-6129 now. Our attorneys have recovered over $1 billion for victims like you. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Go to ChafinLujana.com or call us for your free case review. Call 800-396-6129. That's 800-396-6129. 800-396-6129.
This is Hot 97 Street Soldiers, hosted by Lisa Evers.
Welcome back to this episode of Street Soldiers on the Diddy Arrest. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We have an amazing panel taking a broad, big picture view of what's really going on here with Diddy. What's on the line for him for real? And what kind of evidence does the government have? And what about his reputation, his contributions? We're looking at all of that. Joining me is Asia Grace. She's a lifestyle reporter for the New York Post. Also with us is Mark Ellibert. He's a hip-hop journalist for Complex and other publications and platforms. Also joining us is Philip Hamilton. He's a criminal defense attorney and managing partner of Hamilton Clark LLP. Phil, one of the questions that I've been getting on my social media, on my Instagram in particular, people are asking, those allegations in that indictment, they mentioned starting at 2008. People are going like, how can they go back more than 15 or 16 years to bring a case? Isn't there some kind of statute of limitations on this?
Generally, there is a statute of limitations. More specifically, with respect to these charges, there aren't. And the specific reason for that is because, again, Diddy's charged with a racketeering RICO conspiracy, which means that the government is alleging that he was running an organization that had the purpose of ultimately conducting criminal activity, carrying out criminal acts. And because of that, there's an exception to what normally is there as a five-year statutory statute of limitations, right? That's what's typically there. But what happens when you have this ongoing criminal activity within the scope of an enterprise or an organization is that you can start to go back a while. Think back again to the R. Kelly case, right? In that case, which was tried in 2022, you had a lot of testimony regarding what was happening with R. Kelly and Aaliyah back in 1994 and 1995, which went even further back in time than some of these allegations that we're dealing with respect to Diddy. But that's because the government, as in R. Kelly's case, charged him with running an organization that's purpose was to bring all kinds of women to Illinois and let him do whatever he was going to do that was illegal. And then that's why he ended up serving that time. Well, analogously, what's being said here is that between New York and LA, Diddy was running a like organization that had the purposes of transporting, you know, women and men across state lines, which then is what gave it the federal nexus over a course of time that because that was the aim of the, you know, racketeering conspiracy, that's what allows them to go beyond 5 years. And they can go back to 2018, 2017, 2016, because it's been an ongoing conspiracy. So as long as the government can prove that it's been ongoing, that's what will allow them to ultimately surpass the statute of limitations and continue forward with this prosecution.
And then can they go back and look at things that might have happened before 2008, even if they want to?
100%. 100%. If they can tie it to the ends, aims, and goals of his corporation, right? So if we think about, as we were discussing last segment, just some of Diddy's history, I mean, we're thinking about his heyday, 97, 98, 99. There would be nothing stopping them as people, as this prosecution is now going on, decide, hey, I need to talk to the government about what happened to me back in the summer of 96 or what happened to me in the summer of 98 when they were on tour, right? And so that's something that we may look to see some superseding indictments later where they're bringing additional offenses and additional charges as against him that could span back to that time.
Asia, it seems like there's also kind of like a break in the timeline, too, in terms of things, because during the New York years, the late 90s, the early 2000s, when he was operating a lot in New York, he was somebody that you would see everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, Diddy, Puff Daddy, Puff, however you know him, he was truly the man behind the magic of it all. He definitely played a massive role in putting hip hop on the map. He really was the king of hip hop. I mean, here, his label Bad Boy was the machine behind Biggie Smalls, who's one of the greatest rappers of all time. I mean, he was using throwback hits and making them into 90s joints, and Mariah Carey, and, you know, you name it. He's had the top of the top. With his name attached to it. And honestly, there was never an arena that he couldn't not only just play in, but dominate in. You know, he was the victor when it came to music, videos, putting stars on the map, rebranding, spirits, sports. There was nothing Diddy couldn't do. So now with this all coming out, and us, some of us remembering some of the headlines he made back in the day that weren't so great, concerning the club issue in the late 90s and just other things that he's been involved in. It seems like a lot of people, especially on social media, are taking off their rose colored glasses and saying, well, what really was going on all those years ago? We were singing the songs and wearing the clothes and drinking the drinks, but was there something that we were just completely blind to? And I think that people online, definitely want to be told what's happening as it's unfolding.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark, what about like any soul searching going on? You think about people in the hip hop community go, wait a minute, did I miss this? How did I miss this? Or they don't want to talk about it? What are you sensing?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who are, I guess, trying to come to the facts and what's going on right now. Like, all right, this was going on. And is this connected to other things? Like, you know, I remember Marlon Wayans did a conversation with Shannon Sharp, and Shannon Sharp asked him, he's like, yo, did you go to Diddy parties? And he was like, yeah, I went, but I had already left. And it's like, it's things like that. I wonder if people are thinking like, damn, if I had stayed and I saw something, would I have seen, said something? But then again, we have this veil over hip hop where it's like, if you see something, don't say something. Like, we're not going to snitch. So we're having another challenge of that idea now. Like, should we say something? Cameron brought that up a few years ago when he said he got shot and he's not going to say anything. And people are like, what are you talking about? You should say something. So now we're seeing another form of that now, because Diddy is connected to so many people. Earlier today, I saw that Meek Mill went on a rant, and we know how connected he is to Diddy. So people are asking Meek, did you see anything? What's going on here? He's not saying anything. People are wondering about French Montana, who's actually was signed to Bad Boy Records. And Diddy was touting him as that next guy out of New York. It's like, okay, if you work so closely with him, did you see anything? Like, you know, we're at a point right now where, like, we really have to decide, like, all right, we have to cut this no snitching thing out, because people's lives are affected. People's lives were abused and hurt. And that's trauma that they may never be able to fix. So we have to get to the bottom of this. So I just hope that, you know, people in hip hop and the entertainment industry can continue or start doing that soul searching and understand, like, this is the business, but like, human lives are more important than what this business has given us.
No, I'm glad you raised that, because it's also too, it's like the awareness too, especially for young women. It was a tough, it's the entertainment world has always been a tough, a tough way for women to go and to have successful careers. And some found or felt that they were, had to be compelled to do things they didn't want to do in order to just catch a break. Bill, when you're reading and going through the indictment, were there things that shocked you or stood out to you as really significant that we should be watching?
I mean, listen, if you haven't been living under a rock, from a factual standpoint, everything that's been discussed over the course of the show about Diddy's career, what we knew as him as a hip hop mogul, a music industry mogul, and then just as that downfall began, let's start to say like within the last year and a half, 2 years, basically, like I said, ever since he didn't settle that suit with Cassie. And I'm telling you, I'm sure that he is retrospectively, as he's sitting in the Metropolitan Detention Center, thinking back about how ultimately it probably would have been a better idea to settle that matter. Because once he didn't, it opened all of this up, right? That's when we're starting to see the video of him chasing her down the hallway. That's when all these other people are coming out with these civil suits. And again, analogously, remember, that's exactly kind of what happened with R. Kelly. Once you had that Lifetime special, right, and everybody started watching that, everybody started coming out of the woodworks. So all I'm trying to say is that what I'm seeing factually in the indictment is what I've been hearing about for the last 2 years, right? Like ever since all this started to bubble up, but then particularly since like Cassie came with that lawsuit, I'm not really seeing anything from a factual standpoint that's surprising. And from a legal standpoint, this is fitting a lot of classic sex trafficking type of cases. I'm going to be frank with you, even a little bit more so than the R. Kelly case, right? Because like here, what I'm seeing is, again, all of these women being trafficked across lines in a more professional sense, bringing prostitutes across state lines, using drugs. It almost fits a little bit more than even the R. Kelly situation, right? And it, just for a variety of reasons. But when you ask me at the inception, Lisa, is this serious? It's very serious. And what I'm seeing in this indictment is, again, 30 to life, with most likely a lot of enhancements that if he's convicted, it's going to make it really difficult to mitigate on his behalf.
All right, we're going to continue with more of our Diddy special. I'm Lisa Evers, your host for Street Soldiers. Stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Yo, Rosenberg, you'd have been so mad. Laura, you too.
Why?
Somebody had a German Shepherd in a car and the dog was just going crazy. I mean, it was nighttime, so it wasn't hot, but still.
Oh, yo, that's...
God.
And you're kind of conflicted, like, yo, do you, like, ugh, you become, like, a pet Helen?
Is that a Karen?
Or Karen, Helen, whoever?
Pet Helen. Pet Karen.
What the hell is a pet Helen?
I know. I confused
Karen and Helen for a second.
What are you eating, man?
Yo, man.
I'm still eating, man.
Yo, what English muffin is in your mouth right now?
Yo, man, I'm still eating, man. I rode 123 miles yesterday. My body's in shambles a little bit.
What nourishment does one get after they ride?
Right, anything you can find.
Get it in there.
Find something that's edible.
97 minutes commercial free every morning with Ebro in the Morning on Hot 97.
Packages by Expedia. You were made to be rechargeable. We were made to package flights, hotels, and hammocks for less. Expedia, made to travel.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug, ignored a leaky faucet, pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look like that? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects, but there's an easier way. Thumbtack is the app that makes it easier to care for your home. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, search, chat, and book highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Download Thumbtack and start caring for your home the easier way.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like, you know to check you have a full tank of gas first before road tripping through the desert.
Empty? Seriously? Maybe I can walk.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds.
Maybe I can't.
You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Terms apply. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Offices in New York and New Jersey.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check your sunroof is closed first before driving through the car wash.
Whoa.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Terms apply. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
With fall savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $1,600 off select appliances from top brands like GE Profile. Save space and time with the new combo washer and dryer and do it all in one machine. And with smart dispense technology, the right amount of detergent is automatically added to every wash. Laundry day is a whole lot smarter with the GE Profile Ultra Fast Combo with smart dispense only at the Home Depot. Right now, save up to $1,600 and financing on select appliances with fall savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Price about September 26th through October 16th. U.S. only. See store online for details.
This is Hot 97 Street Soldiers, hosted by Lisa Evers.
Welcome back to this special episode of Street Soldiers on Diddy, his arrest, the whole big picture of everything that's going on with him. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We have an amazing panel breaking this all down for us. Joining us is Asia Grace. She's a New York Post lifestyle reporter. Also with us is Mark Elibert. He's a hip-hop journalist for Complex and other platforms and publications. Also with us is criminal defense attorney Philip Hamilton. He's the managing partner of Hamilton Clark LLP as well. Mark, in terms of your concerns, what are some of your concerns about this?
My concerns, honestly, is the people who were around him, because they said that him and Cassie were dating for so long, and Cassie tried to settle out of court with him. He didn't want to do it. All this blew up. And they said that they have the footage of all the freak-offs that he was having. Phil, I want to ask you, if somehow Cassie is in those videos allegedly helping him out or recruiting women to come and do whatever it is, can the court system bring her back in and connect her to it, even
That's a great point. Phil, what about what Mark's, the question Mark's raising? If Cassie, I mean, and also you're raising the issue of the video too, because we are all talking about this one single video that was released last May, that horrific one of Cassie being beaten by Diddy, that Diddy acknowledged and apologized for, that as one video. But if there's as many videos as the prosecutors allege, or even others of maybe celebrities, of maybe, you know, who knows, or that Cassie's in some of them, they were together for 10 years. What impact does that have on her credibility as being their star witness?
So, Mark, Lisa, Mark, I'm going to address your question first, okay? I can promise you, even without having been there, not having been in any part of the grand jury proceedings, that as the government started this investigation, they were having discussions, I promise you, with Cassie in regards to that. To the extent that they've seen these videos, which 100% we know that they have, if they saw anything in there that would look like Cassie was taking a managing role or a leader type of role in these freak-offs or in some of the criminal conduct that's charged, you can imagine that conversations were had with her. I'm not in any way saying that she's a cooperating witness or anything along those lines from the perspective of when people are signed up as cooperators or snitches. But at the end of the day, when you read the indictment, you don't have to see Cassie's name within the indictment to know that victim one is in fact Cassie. Clearly, she's participating ultimately in this investigation. She most likely, in the event that it does go to trial, will be a star witness. And so I think in regards to her being cooperative, in terms of her opening the door to all of this, let's just imagine it was any other case and you had a witness like that that came forward that would say that I was manipulated into this leadership role, I was manipulated into being an organizer. You can start to imagine where immunity would be given, so long as you're helping the government move forward with this prosecution, right? So I'm sure all of that's been discussed. That is a very general blanket statement with which I'm giving you, because again, I'm not privy to specifics. You nor I have seen any discovery in this matter, but just kind of generally speaking to that, that's kind of what I would think at this point.
And then Asia, the one at the crux of this also too is a lot of abuse of women, and we're in a very different place. They got a better place in 2024 than we were even 5 years ago or 10 years ago in terms of what's acceptable behavior and what's unacceptable behavior. How do you think that that's this abuse that with mostly female victims, they were saying in court, the prosecutors, that some of these young women and some of the underage women were actually drugged for days and kept awake for days so that they could participate in these freak-offs, horrific type of behavior. Do you think that there's any way that they could be swayed from not finding him guilty when they hear stuff like that?
I mean, it's very shocking what's being alleged. And the fact that some of these alleged victims went through this is horrific. I don't think that any argument can really change the mind of someone who's hearing a young lady cry and describe what she went through and describe the trauma she still deals with. I will say, though, the silver lining in all of this very dark and ugly conversation is that victims who may not have anything to do with Diddy at all are using social media and other platforms to speak up about what they went through. They're no longer afraid to hold their truths in because now the conversation has been opened up and they're saying, hey, you know, if Cassie and the like can speak out against somebody as big and as powerful and as wealthy as a Diddy, then maybe I can speak out when it comes to the person who abused me or who mistreated me or who drugged me, whatever the case might be. So yes, we're all looking forward to hearing from the victim, the alleged victims in this case, in Diddy's case. But I do think that if we had to pull any kind of ray of sunshine out of this nonsense, this mess that we're in, it's that other people are now feeling more confident in really speaking their truths, which is something we've missed for a long time in our society.
And it took tremendous courage for Cassie to do what she did with that original civil complaint. Phil, in terms of the victims, some other defense attorneys, not you, but other defense attorneys have said, well, if they were accepting money from him, that really invalidates any testimony that they might give as victims. What do you say to that?
I wouldn't say that it invalidates it. I think from a defense attorney standpoint, if I were in that position and you're trying to do your job and advocate on behalf of your client in an effective manner, of course, you're going to hit on those areas because those are areas that can take away from credibility, right? Like in terms of you voluntarily participated in this, you took money as regards either to come and be a part of it or later at some point, and those factors can kind of undercut a lot of the force and coercion that we discussed are critical elements of the sex trafficking charge in this case, right? But does it wholly invalidate it? I wouldn't say as much, because I think in many respects, these victims will be coming forward and saying that, again, it wasn't just his money. It was his power. It was the threat of physical force. And it was all of these other variables that were at play that kept me quiet, and that even though this wasn't voluntary, I didn't even feel like I couldn't take the money, right? Because of the fear that I had, because of his stature, because of his power. So this is, when we talk about uphill cases, I mean, let's start to think about Mount Everest and those types of mountains, because like that's what you're climbing up in terms of trying to defend Diddy at this point, especially in the wake of the Cassie video and a lot of the other stuff that we've heard. I'm not saying that he doesn't have a defense or that there aren't points that you can argue, but in that jurisdiction, the Southern District of New York, when you're dealing with a lot of those upstate, more a little bit conservative counties in terms of like Westchester, Dutchess, Orange, Putnam, and this is going to be your jury pool, in terms of making those arguments in front of them, that's why I say this is such an uphill battle.
Mark, are men in particular in hip hop, like doing kind of a gut check on this and saying, wait a minute, I need to be more careful. I need to be more considerate. And that there's kind of a review going on with people, with guys.
I would say so. Hip hop and even the music and any industry, really, we're seeing more like, all right, we have to be more mindful of what we're saying in the workplace. Things are certain actions. We have to protect these women from people who are trying to do things to them that's not okay. I would like to say I hope that there's men out here that are that have that gut check and think, all right, we need to protect more of these people. But then again, we have such a lack of education on certain things amongst our community, and we're not getting that knowledge to those people that should hear that. And they're just growing up whichever way they want to grow up. And they think stuff like that is okay, and it's not. So I would hope that there's people here that are, you know, reflecting and thinking, okay, yeah, we do need to do a better job. We do need to call out people who are, you know, doing heinous actions and make sure that the truth is out there and that we are protecting these women. Because, you know, again, as I said earlier, the music industry is a space where you think that you can live your dreams, you make all this money, you become a superstar, but what does it take to get there?
No, absolutely. And that's been a thing. I mean, there's female artists today who speak about what they had to do, what they felt they had to do in order to get studio time. Not that long ago, back in the day, when before you could record on your laptop or your phone, or, you know, when studio time was really, really expensive. Let's talk about other people who may be involved. Asia Grace, there was kind of, I mean, when all of these Diddy rumors and then civil suits and all these things started, there was a lot of talk about who else may be involved, who else might be next. What do you think the level of worry and concern was?
I mean, I'm sure that a lot of celebrities who've attended these freak offs and who've been around Diddy when he was allegedly carrying out some of these very heinous allegations, the things that are being leveled against him, I'm sure that they're shaking in their boots. I mean, this is, you know, as it stands, without a conviction or a verdict or anything, this is somewhat of a cautionary tale. So this was the king of the hip hop community who's recently been deemed an extreme danger to the community by the judge overseeing this case. You know, it's definitely something that VIPs need to heed and you know, kind of be cognizant of, that, you know, money and power and status are great, but that you're not above the law when you have those things. And I'm sure that a number of A-listers, as well as folks that worked for him, as well as folks that were in the bad boy sphere, are very concerned as to what they'll have to either say or do, or how they're going to have to change their behavior based on what's all happening right now.
So what about that? Because, you know, if it's a conspiracy, there has to be co-conspirators, but he was the only one, as I understand it, named in the indictment. So what about other people? Why is that?
Yeah, just because he's the only one named within the indictment doesn't mean that he's the only one that has come into custody of the government, right? There's a lot of times where you will be dealing with sealed indictments, right? Or where you will be dealing with cooperators who maybe not necessarily have been indicted yet, but who are helping the government put together their case. So only seeing his name, I wouldn't say that that should give others who may or may not have been caught up within this conduct the freedom at this point just to think that, oh, well, everything's okay because, you know, my name's not in here.
Exactly.
I don't have anything to worry about. I wouldn't say that. And what I'll say, just from just a general standpoint, being a member of the criminal defense bar, you know, in New York City, all I can tell you is there are a lot of phone calls that are being made now in terms of people looking for attorneys, and people trying to get their ducks in a row for in the event that ultimately an indictment or a subpoena comes their way with respect to this matter. I can tell you that there's a lot of phone calls. So people are worried. People are nervous. His reach over the course of, you know, these 30 or so years, and even a little bit more, probably going back 33 years, that Diddy's been a part of the industry, the circle that he's built, the people that have ran with him. There's just a lot of nervous energy around. Let's just leave it like that.
The whole thing. All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation on Diddy, his arrest, what comes next. And that's what I'm going to ask my guests. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this.
My girl, Nessa. Yeah. That's right.
Yes, at this point, we know J-Lo filed for divorce from Ben Affleck. That's not stopping them from hanging out. Listen to this, Camilo. They were spotted together, heavy with the PDA, while enjoying some brunch. And this is according to Page Six.
Nessa, it's not over.
Here's the thing. Maybe marriage was just too much pressure for the both of them. You know, it's a lot of paperwork. Feels like a business deal between them.
Or maybe it's just cheaper to keep her.
Nessa on Hot 97 from 3 to 7.
Stay tuned.
You were made to travel the world. And the seven seas, and countless lakes, and innumerable rivers, and one perfect pond. Get travel ideas from ChatGPT on Expedia. Made to travel.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I've seen people's lives and their families' lives turn completely upside down by devastating accidents. And that's why I started my law firm. I'm Eric Chafin, co-founder of Chafin Lujano Law. Our firm makes sure that you recover everything you're entitled to, including, for example, your lost wages, your medical expenses, as well as your pain and suffering. Our team has the experience and expertise in personal injury cases to get you the best legal recovery while you focus on your health and healing. If you've been injured, call us and let us do good and right for you.
Go to ChafinLujano.com or call 800-396-6129. If you've been hurt because of someone else's negligence, Chafin Lujano will help you get the meaningful compensation you deserve. Call 800-396-6129 now. Our attorneys have recovered over $1 billion for victims like you. Don't settle for less than you deserve. Go to ChafinLujano.com or call us for your free case review. Call 800-396-6129. That's 800-396-6129. 800-396-6129.
These days, everything in New York City costs more. But a single line at Verizon doesn't. Get one line for as low as $50 per month when you switch and bring your phone. So, while coffee is definitely costing more, here at Verizon, you can save. And dinner for two has gotten pricey. Verizon, less pricey. Manhattan rent, that's not coming down. But Verizon, down. One line for just $50 a month. That designer golden doodle, so much more. But Verizon, a fair bit less. Even a good old tried and true hamburger will cost you more. But with Verizon, the same tried and true service is now just $50 per month for a single line on unlimited welcome with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Point is, in a world that is always costing more, you can get more for less right now at an NYC Verizon store. $15 promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G, 4G, LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Do you have bad credit but need a new car? Do you have trouble getting a car loan for any reason? Call Credit Solutions, a division of Hudson Hyundai. It's easy to apply right over the phone. No matter your credit past, we can help. Call 800-254-7220. That's 800-254-7220. You can drive a new Hyundai with just $68, like a new 2024 Hyundai Elantra SE, only $68 down. Or a new 2024 Hyundai Tucson SE, only $68 down. Drive home today. Call 800-254-7220. That's 800-254-7220. And all new Hyundais come with Hyundai Assurance and America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. Call Credit Solutions for pre-approval today. 800-254-7220. That's 800-254-7220. Or head to HudsonHyundai.com. Payments will vary. Credit severity affects approval. See dealer for details.
This is Hot 97 Street Soldiers, hosted by Lisa Evers.
Welcome back to this episode of Street Soldiers. I'm your host, Lisa Evers. We're talking about the Diddy case, taking a whole big look at everything that's going on. Asia, in terms of the news cycle, in terms of things that happen, our awareness of situations, our awareness of wrongdoing, it seems to be accelerating. When we're looking at Diddy, there's things that may have happened 20 years ago before social media was really as prominent and video cameras as prominent as they are now and as available that have gone on. What role do you think this is going to play in this saga, basically, this criminal saga?
Well, the court of public opinion or the court of social media say so is definitely speaking up. It's a buzz. You know, I think that social media has definitely played a role in a number of massive and major cases that we've seen. People are weighing in with their thoughts and opinions. We see court reporters bringing to the minute news updates onto Twitter and TikTok. So this has now become a part of our everyday experience, our universe. And as consumers of all the news and people who are just very interested in what all happened here, I think that this is just going to continue to accelerate. No one's going to take their foot off the pedal of reporting and covering and tweeting and commentating on this Diddy situation. But honestly, if you put it all in one big ball, I do think that there's just a level of disenchantment. A lot of people on social media, a lot of people that I've spoken with and people are contributing to the conversation on news in the news. I just think that, you know, again, we had this inner city boy who made good and had bad boy, put everything on the map. And then to have now these conversations and these revelations and allegations come out, it's disheartening. So I do hope that the folks that are watching at home, the folks that looked up to him, don't lose heart. Know that there are good people and that just in one way or another will be served.
Mark, what about that, the narrative? Because what Asia was just talking about, that the narrative, because his success story was something that captivated so many people. And here, you know, he had some college, almost graduated from Howard. He, all the style, you know, setting the style, being on Broadway, the movies, all the things that he did that he just, you know, that were on such a large scale and giving people hope, like, okay, you can do it too. Even if you look like me, even if you come from where I come from, my circumstances, you can rise to the top. See, I'm with the top celebrities. I'm in a tux. I mean, I think he was credited. Maybe they're trying to rewrite that part, but he was one of the first people in hip hop to actually wear a suit jacket. And then, you know, for award shows, people are walking in it back in the day in the Timbs and the baggy jeans and the whole nine. And he was what at that time. And then he comes in with a very expensive suit and looking like, you know, like $1 million, which he was worth more than that. But what about that impact on hip hop? Do you think people are going to be like, oh, look, if I get too big, they're going to do me like they did him? Or it's just the allegations are so horrendous that that's not even a consideration?
It's such a complicated thing because, again, this man has done so much. He shares a similar story that so many people have, came from nothing and they made themselves into something. But it's like, we have to understand, like, this is where reality comes in. Like, who is this person really? Yeah, they did amazing things, but who is this person behind the scenes? So it's like, it's really complicated. Like example, for me being a young Black man, I'm trying to be successful as well. And I would love to get to the levels that Diddy reached. I would love to be a billionaire and be able to fly on private jets and do whatever the case may be. But at the same time, it's like, and I have to play this card because again, it's all allegations.
Right.
No, we know what happens when Black people become successful. There's people who don't want to see that. So that's a whole nother conversation. That's like, all right, is there a certain level of success that we can't reach?
Right.
They start doing things to bring us back down. And then it's another thing of like, who are these people like that are being successful? Like, you also have to look at it from a mental health issue as well. Did he ever get the help to deal with his issues that led him to allegedly commit these crimes as well? Because we all know in the Black community, we don't get a lot of help regarding mental health and helping us understand why we do the things that we do. And with us, when you throw money into the equation, it's only going to amplify that behavior. So it's just a real complicated thing. Like, yes, we love success, but again, at what cost does it come with?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Do we want to stay where we're at and survive by day, or do we want to reach success and be taken out probably by whatever thing they come up with or whatever?
Well, no, you raise a point about the mental health, and there's a lot of questions. There's been talk, I mean, about his upbringing or whatever, but at the end of the day, they can't excuse if you're harming another person, right? We're not trying to condone that by a long shot, but who knows what happened with that. But Phil, one of the issues that came up at his arraignment was his attorney said that he had gotten treatment, that he'd gotten some kind of therapy after the Cassie video surfaced last May that shocked so many people, that he was in therapy and that he was had gone for drug treatment. Do you see that as some sort of narrative that might help his defense?
At some point, I can't sit up here because I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know if at this point in their minds, they're already, I'll tell you what I heard him saying earlier, which is this, we're going to trial on this, right? So then if we're going to trial, if he's going to play the defense of, well, I was a drug addict and I was going through all of this traumatic stuff, I guess it could in some respects be a defense. I don't really know if it's the most effective one. When I would think that you would want to use that information is either if you're trying to work through a plea, or if at a certain point there is a conviction and you're trying to provide mitigation as to some of the underlying relevant conduct that the judge has to sentence you on. And you may just want to put that forward to the judge in terms of childhood trauma, in terms of things that weren't worked through, and in terms of how like your substance abuse addiction is what ultimately was underlying your terrible decision making. And it was exacerbating, to Mark's point, some underlying issues of mental health that maybe you never actually went to get treated. And it was just like taking what was already a mental health related issue up to level 10, right? And so that's something, of course, that you can bring in a forensic psychiatrist or someone to come in and kind of break down what was going on in his head that may have led to this conduct. Mm-hmm. But in terms of a trial strategy, I don't know how much that would play into it. So we're just going to ultimately see which route the defense ends up going. Are they going to try to go a negotiation potential plea route, or is he going straight to trial? We'll see.
So that's the only choices that lie ahead for him now is at this point is he's either going to have, because the charge, he's been indicted, he's been arraigned. He's either going to have to take some sort of plea or go to trial, right? Those are the only two pathways open.
Unless he knows somebody bigger than him that's done way worse things than him. And think about how small that circle would be, right? If he could give information on to the government, maybe, you know. But like, even with that, at this point, that still in and of itself would be leading more toward plea, right? So yes, at the end of the day, those are basically the two options he has. We'll see what happens.
Asia, in terms of what we can learn from all of this, what do you think some of the takeaways are for us?
I think one of the main ones is that money does not equal immunity. You know, unfortunately, every dog has their day. There's a reckoning. There are things done in the shadows. If any of the allegations are true or if he's convicted, whatever happens here, I think people need to know that, yes, you want success. And yes, it's beautiful to have power and to open up doors. Let's not like minimize what Diddy did. He definitely opened up doors for a number of people. And it was beyond hip hop. It was in a ton of arenas, as I've mentioned. But we still have to be cognizant and considerate of other people and their rights and their liberties. And we can't trample on that just because we have XYZ number in our bank accounts.
No, absolutely. Mark, what about takeaways within the hip hop community from this?
Again, we got to understand that, you know, again, it's all allegations, but we've been hearing stuff about Diddy for years. And for some reason, we've continued to ignore it and champion him as this guy. And now it's like, all right, it's back again. And now we actually have proof. We have him assaulting Cassie and Cassie coming out with her lawsuit and everybody and all the other lawsuits now. And it's just now it's like, all right, we really need to understand that the music industry isn't what it's cracked out to be, because there's stuff that's going on that we don't know about. And there's people who are quiet that aren't speaking about it, whether they're afraid or whether they're protecting somebody else or whatnot. But I just think now the takeaway from this is that we have to do a better job at, one, protecting these people and protecting this industry from these people who are allegedly committing heinous acts, because they're using such a beautiful culture that created right here in the Bronx and using it to do something terrible. And that's not what hip hop is about. So we got to do a better job at that.
Absolutely. Phil, final word. You want to make a prediction on which way this will go?
The crazy prediction is that at some point he takes a plea. Because he sees what happened with R. Kelly and he sees ultimately how that played out. And if I am him and thinking about potentially going to trial and knowing that, again, all of those jurors from up in Westchester and Orange and Dutchess are going to be seeing that video of Cassie running down that hallway and him running after her, don't be surprised if at some point he takes a plea so that he can try to avoid some of that time that R. Kelly got hit with. There's a crazy prediction.
And then if he takes a plea, you can't say how much time it would be, but it'd be a lot less than 30 years to life, right?
I mean, I can't say a lot less. I mean, maybe it still nevertheless could be 30. But at the end of the day, when you're talking about a range of 30 to life, right, do you really want to start playing around with, oh, well, I can go to trial and potentially beat what, you know, R. Kelly got? Because if you go down, Judge Donnelly, who sentenced R. Kelly, she's in the Eastern District of New York. You're now going to be in the Southern District of New York, totally different judge, and you're really taking your chances in terms of what you're going to get. So all I'm saying is there may come a point where he has kind of that come to Jesus moment, and he just says, you know what, maybe this is the decision for me. That's my crazy prediction.
All right. Well, thank you all for being with us for this episode of Street Soldiers. New York Post lifestyle reporter Asia Grace, thanks so much for being with us. Also with us, Mark Elbert. He's a hip-hop journalist. Mark, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it. And attorney Philip Hamilton, thank you so much for being with us for this episode of Street Soldiers. And of course, thank you for joining us for this episode of Street Soldiers. I'm Lisa Evers. Remember, use your mind. It's your best weapon. Let's push for peace, love, and justice for all.
I need your loving. So fresh, so clean. Love me in. side now. Yeah, I'm on your wave right now. Up like never. Anything you want and I'ma do whatever. Because I love and I love and I love and I love you only. Because I need and I need and I need and I need you more. Yeah, you know I run and I run and I run and I run. Fly, fly in the sky in the night. Hold me in your arms and your love and your life. I'm on your wave right now. I'm on your wave right now.
Love me tender. Love me tender. Love me tender.
You my sugar, my honey, my tender lover.
You my sugar, my honey, my tender
yeah,
lover.
You are my sugar, my honey, my tender lover.
Hot 97.
Want it all, I won't leave a breadcrumb. What I thought I said some. Thought I said some. G block, all we know is red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum. G block, all we know is red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum. All we know is. It's a May, 32 shots in the K, in the K. Marathon, I really run an A, run an A. Say you touch me, I'll sway, graveyard, that's what I'll stay. Hypnotized, they do what I say, 21, don't play, my Gen 5 said, hey, take my tip for everywhere, that's bae, get your out the car, you giving trade, we been spinning through they hood all day,
Boogie with the hoodie, Hot 97, you already know.
thing about you, tell me how you been. Crazy how you turned into a dub when I could have been two tens. Crazy how I still feel alone in the room with my whole crew, damn. Can't help myself, could have been more loyal, could have been more for you. But you've been so fake, I swear it's like the chains that you be wearing. Aluminum foil, no heart to pour you. First time I saw you, you took strong with me. Had you out your body, 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 had you out your body. Damn, only for one night. I wanna be with, I wanna be with you. Money up, okay, you match my fly. I wanna be with, I wanna be with you. Damn, only for one night. I wanna be with, I wanna be with you. I wanna be with you, for sure. I took a life for you, I make them cry for you. I can't get tired of you, desire you. I would for five of you, if there was five of you. No lie to you, I let it bow for you. It's like I'm five of you, take shots for me. I took a shot for you, now I need a shot of you. For time with you, I do what I gotta do. I just wanna vibe with you, would die for you. Put them to the side for you, I ain't gotta hide from you. Then I make you back the strong. Had you up so petty, Jesus, Scotty. The way you got it, eat your like a bachi. Blast off, rock it. I can't pass off, Stockton. Nothing like my long come home. I was wrong, baby, I was wildin'. Blowing up your phone, what you want, where you at, baby, girl, I'm starting. Leave me alone, I'd rather you do that than be outside, doubt it. I ain't trying to struggle, but I'm grown, so what's going on, just be honest. What's with all the aqua silence? You got another in this violence. Like, damn.
Damn.